Workers in New York have removed more than half of the rubble from the World Trade Center collapse. The work continues through the Christmas holidays. Police, firefighters, and other workers are finding the long hours, combined with the holiday season, to be too much. NPR's Eric Westervelt reports.
Some of the relief agencies, well-wishers, and media are gone, or come less frequently. But as the cold weather slowly moves in, the solemn, exhausting, and now relatively routine work at Ground Zero goes on.
I'm down on the pile with the other police officers, watching grapplers work and then doing hand digs and just moving whatever steel and whatever metal and steel we can and recovering bodies and body parts.
That's Port Authority Police Sergeant Kevin Devlin. He's on a break near the Ground Zero pit. His uniform is now adorned with the tools of construction, not law enforcement. He wears knee pads, a helmet, gloves, flashlight, and small shovel. His face looks weary, and it should. He's worked at the pit almost every week since 9/11. But after more than 3.5 months, he's as committed as ever. Devlin not only lost 37 Port Authority Police colleagues and friends, but his wife worked in the Trade Center as well. She survived, but 93 people in her office were killed, 25 of whom Devlin calls good friends.
So it's a little added heartache for me because a lot of the people that are down there were people that were at my wedding and that were over at my house at parties. So it's just too close. We're surrounded by pictures of people that we lost. I want to be down here. I want to get as many police officers I can get out, and I also want to find as many civilians, friends of my wife, and try and bring people home and get them out of there.
Every day, Ground Zero looks more and more like a typical large construction site with well-worn paths. Grapplers, cranes, earth movers, and workers methodically sort the debris, break up slabs of concrete, and cut steel beams. Only one small section of No. 6 World Trade, the Customs House, remains standing. Other badly damaged buildings adjacent to the towers have been finished off with wrecking balls.
I really haven't had the heart to come down here, but I had to come and face it a little bit, and I can't believe how much has been cleaned up. It's amazing.
Robert Geyer runs a coffee roasting business, but on 9/11, the Long Island resident rushed to the scene to volunteer. Not long after the second tower collapsed, Geyer descended into the ruins with rescuers to search for survivors. He's visiting Ground Zero for the first time since those early hours.
I'm looking around now and I'm shaking inside. I still can't believe it happened. I do travel a lot around the country, and it's amazing when you're out of New York, people just don't understand, you know, what it feels like to be here or to have witnessed this. I was one of the first 40 people down on the second building that collapsed. All I could say, it was the most horrible, saddest thing I've ever seen and witnessed, and I'm proud as an American to have been a part of it, and I would do it again.
The site and its perimeter are often an odd mix of the prayerful and the curious, gawkers and the bereaved. As Geyer looks at Ground Zero with quiet reverence, a group of sharp-dressed tall men arrive with a police escort. The members of basketball's Minnesota Timberwolves in town to play the Nets and take in the devastation. Outside of the tall gates, tourists and New Yorkers alike crowd police checkpoints and one another to catch a glimpse of Ground Zero or snap a photo with the ruins as backdrop. Brian Tierney, a Port Authority police lieutenant, splits his time between the Fresh Kills landfill and Ground Zero. Tierney's troubled by the occasional sidewalk circus around the site. He tears up as he ticks off the names of police friends who perished here.
Kathy Mazza, Bob Siri, Richie Rodriguez was an instructor, James Parham, Jimmy Nelson, Paul Jurgens, they were all academy instructors. And they raced over here within 5 to 10 minutes of that first plane hitting, and they have never been recovered. So their remains are in this pile somewhere. And I can't say it doesn't bother me when people come down here and treat it like a tourist attraction, that it's something you want to see on a postcard. And it's not. It's hallowed ground.
Enormous work still remains here. Workers have removed only half the rubble, and people here estimate it'll take another 3 to 4 months, at least, to safely clean up the 8 underground floors of compacted rubble. It's still a crime scene. It's still dangerous work. Officially, anyway, the longest burning commercial fire in U.S. history is finally out. Firefighters here will tell you that as they dig several stories below ground, blazes can still flare up. Water trucks are everywhere to keep down the work dust and just in case the stubborn blaze starts up again. The number of World Trade Center dead has steadily dropped from an estimated high near 7,000 soon after the attack to today, where the official number is just under 3,000. Bill Domitrovitz is an electrician with Local 3. He helps keep the massive generators and nightlights here running. Domitrovitz has been down here since the beginning. He says it's still galling that the coward, as he calls Osama bin Laden, was able to kill as many as he did.
It's good to hear that there's less than what they had first anticipated, but, you know, even if it's 25, you know, you don't want to see that.
Inside a giant white tent near the recovery area, workers can catch a hot meal provided by the Salvation Army and relax a little. In one corner, an iron worker on break snores as he reclines in a big armchair. Red Cross mental health volunteer Jill Hoffman says these holiday times are especially tough on the workers. They're fiercely loyal to their fallen colleagues, she says, but they're exhausted. And their absence from home is putting strains on marriages, friendships, and their health.
They're incredibly torn with the experience of having to deal with leaving their families to work 12 hours in a very gruesome situation. And at a time when most people are with their families, they're not. And they miss their families terribly.
Port Authority Sergeant Kevin Devlin admits there are physical and emotional strains. And after a shift, with his wife losing so many of her friends as well, it's hard to get away from it all. Still, Devlin says he went back to his old post at Kennedy Airport, but quickly asked to return to Ground Zero.
I said to my wife the other day, I wonder if we'll ever pass one day where it doesn't come up. And she said shouldn't be a day goes by that anybody in this country should forget about 9/11. I mean, it's because I know a lot of people in the country want to get back to normal. The 2 weeks I was back at the airport, there was people traveling who were, you know, starting to feel inconvenienced by the long lines, and they want everything back to normal. It's never going to be back to normal, and it never should be.
I'll be here through the winter, Devlin adds. It's where I belong. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, New York.